أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واذكر في الكتاب مريم إذ انتبذت من أهلها مكانا شرقيا فاتخذت من دونهم حجابا فأرسلنا إليها روحنا فتمثل لها بشرا سويا قالت إني أعوذ بالرحمن منك إن كنت تقيا قال إنما أنا رسول ربك لأهب لك غلاما زكيا قالت أنى يكون لي غلام ولم يمسسني بشر ولم أك بغيا قال كذلك قال ربك هو علي هين ولنجعله آية للناس ورحمة منا وكان أمرا مقضيا فحملته فانتبذت به مكانا قصيا فأجاءه المخاض إلى جذع النخلة قالت يا ليتني مت قبل هذا وكنت نسيا منسيا فناداها من تحتها ألا تحزني قد جعل ربك تحتك سريا وهزي إليك بذذع النخلة تساقط عليك رطبا جنيا فكلي واشربي وقري عينا فإما ترين من البشر أحدا فقولي إني نذرت للرحمن صوما فلن أكلم اليوم إنسيا فأتت بها قومها تحمله قال يا مريم لقد جئت شيئا فريا يا أخت هارون ما كان أبوك امرأ سوء وما كانت أمك بغيا فأشارت إليه قالوا كيف نكلم من كان في المهد صبيا قال إني عبد الله آتاني الكتاب وجعلني نبيا وجعلني مباركا أينما كنت وأوصاني بالصلاة والزكاة ما دمت حيا وبرا بوالدتي ولم يجعلني جبارا شقيا والسلام علي يوم ولدت ويوم أموت ويوم أبعث حيا ذلك عيسى بن مريم قول الحق الذي فيه يمترون ما كان لله أن يتخذ من ولد سبحانه إذا قضى أمرا فإنما يقول له كن فيكون وإن الله ربي وربكم فاعبدوه هذا صراط مستقيم فاختلف الأحزاب من بينهم فويل للذين كفروا من مشهد يوم عظيم أسمع بهم وأبصر يوم يأتوننا لكن الظالمون اليوم في ضلال مبين وأنذرهم يوم الحسرة إذ قضي الأمر وهم في غفلة وهم لا يؤمنون إنا نحن نرث الأرض ومن عليها وإلينا يرجعون صدق الله العظيم.
Assalamu alaikum, my dear respected brothers and sisters, and all the brothers and sisters listening at home and the transmitters. Very quickly, alhamdulillah, Mawlana Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Duraz Sahib has blessed us with his coming, alhamdulillah. Very quickly, I want to give you a brief introduction in regards to Mawlana Salim Duraz Sahib. It will have to be very brief because the amount of the life and works of Mawlana Salim Duraz Sahib is so much that we will be here for days and days just explaining the effort that he has made for the community of Leicester and for the country of UK already. So very briefly outlining the efforts that Maulana Salim Durasab has made. He was graduated from Darul Uloom Berri. Maulana Salim Durasab in 1991 moved to Leicester, where he opened up an Islamic Dawah Academy. He is the director there. He's and the principal there also. He is also the principal at the Madrasa, which is a full-time Islamic boarding school. He also is the chief editor of the magazine that is published in Leicester and is distributed worldwide called Riyazul Jannah. He also teaches Bukhari Sharif to many of the students in this full-time Islamic boarding school. And he is very active in the field of Dawah, especially amongst the youngsters. Many youngsters are linked with Maulana Salim Durasab, and he is forever involving himself in improving the community of Leicester and improving the community and the country of the United Kingdom. So inshallah, I will call Maulana Salim Durasab inshallah to enlighten us with some words of wisdom and give us some piece of advice. Jazakallah.
الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا تدخلون الجنة حتى تؤمنوا ولا تؤمنون حتى تحابوا أولا أدلكم على شيء إذا فعلتموه تحاببتم أفشوا السلام بينكم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا تحاسدوا ولا تدابروا ولا تباغضوا وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. My most respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The favors and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us are innumerable. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If we try to count the favors that have been bestowed upon us by our Creator, we will never be able to do so. Every minute, every second, we are being showered favors upon favors by our most compassionate Creator. Many favors are apparent to us, but because we do not have that strong relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we do not pay attention. These eyes, are a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ears, the tongue, the brain, the hands, the fingers, the feet, the whole body, the oxygen, the people around us, our parents, our children, our brothers, our sisters. Iman is a very great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And being created as an individual of the ummah, of the great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is also a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam once came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and he said, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qallabtu mashariq al-ard wa magharibaha. I have turned upside down the easts of the earth and the wests of the earth. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted me the power, and through this favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have seen whatever is in this earth. I have seen the cream of humanity, all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. قَلَّبْتُ مَشَارِكَ الْأَرْضِ وَمَغَارِبَهَا. I have seen everything. فَلَمْ أَرَ رَجُلًا أَفْضَلَ مِن مُحَمَّدٍ. But my eyes have not seen anyone more virtuous than you. So this is also a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that without any request from our side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us the favor of Iman. And He has made us an individual of the Ummah, of the most virtuous Prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, أنا حامل لواء الحمد يوم القيامة ولا فخر. I will be holding the flag of Hamd on the day of Qiyamah, and the whole humanity will be following me, including the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. ولا فخر. But I am not proud of myself, because this is a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon me. Ana awwalu shafi'in wa mushaffi'in wa la fakhra. I will be the first to be granted the permission to intercede on the day of Qiyamah. And I will be the first whose intercession will be accepted on the day of Qiyamah. Wala fakhra. I am not proud, because it is only through the grace of my Creator. Ana awwalu man yaqra'u bab al-jannati. I will be the first to knock on the door of Jannah. Wala fakhra. I am not proud, because this is only through the grace of my Creator. Innal jannata hurrimat 'ala al-anbiya'i hatta adkhulaha. Jannat is haram upon all the Anbiya until I enter Jannah. No Nabi will be able to enter Jannah until I enter Jannah. And because we are the Ummah of this greatest Nabi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also grant us honor on the day of Qiyamah. He further says, وَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ حُرِّمَتْ عَلَى الْأُمَمْ حَتَّى تَدْخُلَهَا أُمَّتِي. And Jannat is haram upon all the ummats until my ummah enters Jannah. kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are the best nation. Because you belong to the best Nabi, best Rasul, best Prophet, best Messenger. He is the best, so his Ummah has to be the best. He is the best from amongst all the Anbiya, so his Ummah is the best from amongst all the Ummahs. A poet in the Urdu language has said, "Kyun na paaye teri ummat khair-e ummat ka khitab?" Why should not your ummah be granted the title of khair ummah, the best ummah? Why should not they be given this title? When you are the best of the anbiya, your ummah has to be the best of the ummah. Kyun na paaye teri ummat khair-e ummat ka khitab? Tu hai jab khairul bashar, khairul rusul, khairul anam. When you are the best of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you are the best of the messengers, when you are the best of the humanity, your ummah has to be the best of the ummahs. So this is also a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So plentiful favors. And our mind does not even go towards this fact that this is a favor of Allah which I am enjoying. Being in the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being a believer and a mu'min, being able to recognize the Creator, being able to recognize the truth, being able to recite the name of Allah, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallah al-Azim. Being able to prostrate before the Creator saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Being able to go into ruku and say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Being able to stand in his court full of respect and say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'een. We do not even realize, my friends, that these are great favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a hadith of Muslim Sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam narrates a hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي. I have divided the salah between myself and my servant. When he stands in my court and when he says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, then I say, Hamidani Abdi, my servant has praised me.
Subhanallah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises be to Allah, who is the cherisher of all the worlds. When we say this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in every rak'ah of every salah, Hamidani Abdi, my servant has praised me. We do not realize how great this favor is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is granting us the tawfiq to come to the masjid, to stand in his court and to communicate with him. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises be to Allah, who is the cherisher of all the worlds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hamidani Abdi, my servant has praised me. Then the servant says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. The most compassionate, the most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Athna alayya abdi. My servant has glorified me. He further says, Maliki yawmiddin. He is the king of the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Majjadani abdi, my servant has revered me. So we say, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. Only you do we worship, and only from you we seek help. We only worship you and we only ask you for help. We worship no one other than you. And when we are in need, we turn to you only. At this point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the first three verses were for me only. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, only my praise. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, only my praise. Maliki Yawmiddin, only my praise. But this verse, my servant has divided into two parts. Half is for me and he has kept half for himself. When he says, Iyaka Na'budu, he is saying, we only worship you. So that is for me. And when he says, we ask you for help only, that means he needs something and he is going to ask something from me. Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'een. This verse, my servant has divided into two parts. He has kept half for himself and half for me. Wale abdi ma sa'ala, and I make a promise at this very point that I will grant my servant whatever his need is.
Subhanallah.
He may ask whatever he wants from me and I will grant it to him. So whenever we perform salat, in every rak'ah we recite Suratul Fatiha. And when we reach this point, Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'een, in every rakat, Allah is saying, Wale abdi ma sa'ala, I will grant my servant whatever he asks from me.
Subhanallah.
If we were left to choose what to ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this point, then because of the lack of realization of the spiritual aspect of our lives, and because of the lack of realization of the life hereafter, we would have asked for very petty things. Wali abdi ma sa'ala, oh my servant, you may ask whatever you want from me. We would have said, oh Allah, I want to get married. Give me a pious, pretty wife. Oh Allah, I have my exams coming. I want to pass my exams. Make it easy for me. Oh Allah, I'm looking for a job. Find me a job. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarantees that He will definitely accept our prayer at this juncture, and at the same time, He also teaches us what to ask from Him. He has not left the choice to you and me. He says that I will grant my servant whatever he asks from me, and he says, now say, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Oh Allah, guide me on the straight path. Oh Allah, guide me on the straight path. Mufti Muhammad Shafi, rahimahullah ta'ala, a great Mufti and a great commentator of the Quran, states here that this dua, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, is a key to every success. It is a key to every success. How? A person is looking for a wife. So here he is saying, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, oh Allah, guide me on the straight path so I find the right wife. A person is looking for a job, oh Allah, guide me on the straight path so I get the right job. Oh Allah, examinations are coming, so guide me on the straight path so I become successful in my examination. Oh Allah, I am going to the doctor to see him this week because I am not feeling well. Guide me on the straight path so that I go to the right doctor and I get the right medicine. Oh Allah, whatever I am doing in my life, to acquire worldly benefits or to acquire the benefits of the hereafter, guide me on the straight path. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wali abdi ma sa'ala, I will grant my servant whatever he asks for. And then he teaches us a comprehensive prayer which encompasses every need of this world and the hereafter. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Oh Allah. Oh Allah, in all my endeavors, endeavors of this world and endeavors of the hereafter, guide me on the straight path so I become successful in this world and in the hereafter. Look at the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my friends. So, innumerable favors,
What we need to do, my friends, is to sit down every day for only 5 minutes. Only 5 minutes. That is all that is required. Sit down for 5 minutes, and during those 5 minutes, try to think about the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just sit back, relax in your sofa, lie down on your bed. For 5 minutes on a daily basis, and think about the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are being showered upon us every minute. Think about the beautiful children that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. Think about the health. Think about the spiritual bounties. Think about iman. Think about all the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. And it's not difficult, because we are drowning in favors. So pick up any favor and think about that favor, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to have created me blind, what would have my life been? What would have been my condition?
Allah.
Ponder over the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 5 minutes only daily, and within weeks you will find the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increasing in your heart. We have taken all these favors for granted. It is as if they have just come about from nowhere, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got nothing to do with it. One of these great favors, my friends, is love for each other. A Muslim loving another Muslim is also a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are sitting here today in Masjid Abu Bakr in Southall, and we have brothers coming from various backgrounds. Various backgrounds, the nationalities are very different. The colors are different. The family lineage is different. The only thing that has gathered us together here today is the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammad. If I am looking at all of you with love, it is not because you have done any favor to me. If you are looking at me with love, it is not because I have done something for you. We don't even know each other. This is my first visit to this mosque. And many of you may have seen me for the first time. We don't even know each other. But still we are looking at each other with love. Where has this love come from? Where is it stemming from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us this love each other through the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Because we recite the same kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. We believe in the same Allah. We follow the same Nabi. We face the same Qibla. We read the same Quran. The same Nabi is our ideal. This is the only thing that is in common. And it is this thing that has brought us together. And whenever we meet each other, we very warmly say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, brother? How are you, brother? How are you, brother? It doesn't make any difference whether the person we are meeting is white in color or black in color. You will find the same warmth in your heart. If we, when meeting somebody, take decisions on the basis of his origin, on the basis of his color, on the basis of his nationality, then there is something wrong with our iman. There is something wrong with our iman. If we differentiate between people because of their colors, because of their nationalities, because of their creed, because of their background, then this is an item of jahiliyyah in our lives. This has got nothing to do with Islam. Abu Dharr Ghifari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, a great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. One of the well-known and eminent companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He held great respect amongst the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He used to reprimand the likes of Hazrat Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, because he held high position, status. Once there was some dispute between him and Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Now look at the background of Abu Zar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, an Arab. And look at the background of Bilal radiyallahu anhu, Abbasin, and a slave. His family lineage is not known to anybody. Unknown. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu brought him from his master Umayyah, who used to prosecute him and torture him very severely, and freed him. Abu Zar Ghifari radiyallahu anhu and Hazrat Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu had some dispute, and during that conversation, that argument, Abu Zar Ghifari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu lost his temper and he said, Yabna Sauda, O the son of the black woman. Abu Zar Ghifari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is still alive in Madinah Munawwara. So Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu became very quiet and he went into the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, O Messenger of Allah. An argument with Abu Zar, it was a petty matter. And during that argument, the dispute, Abu Zar made a very hurtful remark. He said, Yabna Sauda, O the son of the black woman. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam invited Abu Zar radiyallahu anhu and he said, O Abu Zar, did you say this? So Abu Zar radiyallahu ta'ala said, O Messenger of Allah, yes, I did. And I am feeling regretful, but I am guilty of this crime. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, despite Abu Zar accepting Islam and despite him being a very eminent companion, he said, O Abu Zar, this is the hadith of Bukhari Sharif, إِنَّكَ إِمْرُؤٌ فِيكَ جَاهِلِيَّةٌ, you are a person who still has a habit of the period of jahiliyyah. إِنَّكَ إِمْرُؤٌ فِيكَ جَاهِلِيَّةٌ, and this has come about because of the pride that you have in your heart. So Abu Zar Ghifari radiyallahu ta'ala said, O Messenger of Allah, do you see pride in me? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, it is this pride that has made you make this remark. So Abu Zar Ghifari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu immediately put one of his cheek on the floor, on the earth, and he said to Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, in order to cure this spiritual illness of mine, this illness of pride, I want you to put your foot on my other cheek. This action will make me humble to some extent. So I was saying, friends, that if we differentiate because of colors, if we differentiate between two people because of their colors, because of their background, because of their creed, because of their nationalities, then there is something wrong with our iman. Our iman is not perfect, it is not complete. It is not as good as it should be. This love that we experience for each other, it is a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is natural in every believer. You meet somebody, you are traveling in a tube, you are traveling in a bus, you are traveling in a train, the person next to you, you don't know whether he is a Muslim or not. And suddenly you come to know that he is a Muslim, immediately you will find the warmth in your heart. It is very natural. This love is due to the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And this love will bring us under the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said that sab'atun yudhilluhumullahu fi dhillihi yawma la dhilla illa dhillu. There are seven categories of people who will be granted the shade under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, when everybody will be suffering. One category is Rajulan Tahabba Fillah. Those two Muslims who love each other only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No other motive. Business is not a motive, trade is not a motive, politics is not a motive, wealth is not a motive, marriage is not a motive. Only one reason. I love him because he is my Muslim brother. I love him for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I love him only to please my Creator. Rajulan tahabba fillah. Those two people who love each other only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ijtama'a alayhi wa tafarraqa alayhi. When they get together, they get together only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they separate only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make an announcement. He will say, Aina al-mutahabbuna bi jalali. Where are those people who used to love each other for my pleasure? Where are those people who used to love each other only for me? Only to please me? So all the people will stand up. Those who used to love each other only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, Al-yawma udhilluhum fi dhilli yawma la dhilla illa dhilli. Today I will shade them under my throne when there is no shade except the shade of my throne. Now let us reflect upon these sayings of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and assess the condition of our hearts. Let us assess the condition of our hearts. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put this natural love in our hearts for each other. But if we fall out with somebody, or if any dispute takes place between ourselves and somebody else, a very petty and small matter, do we very easily forget and forgive? Do we very easily forgive that person? Do we very easily forget? Or do we hold grudge against him forever and ever? For months and months, for years and years? Our condition is very different, friends. If you look at the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in thousands, Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, Tirmizi Sharif, Abu Dawud Sharif, Ibn Majah Sharif, Bayhaqi, Ibn Hibban, so many books of ahadith. If you look at all the ahadith, you will come to this conclusion that anything that was to strengthen the bond of love between Muslims has been encouraged by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And anything that was going to diminish this love, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has discouraged it and made it forbidden. Ghibah is forbidden. Backbiting is haram. Because backbiting will diminish the love that is between two Muslims. A person will only backbite if he does not love his Muslim brother. And if he came to know about this backbiting, he will also hold grudge in his heart. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-ghibatu ashaddu min az-zina. Backbiting is more severe than zina, than adultery, than fornication. Jealousy would disrupt the love between two Muslims. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La tahasadu. Do not be jealous of each other. And he said, إِيَّاكَ وَالْحَسَدْ فَإِنَّ الْحَسَدَ يَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارُ الْحَتَبْ. Safeguard yourself from hasad. Stay away from jealousy. Do not let jealousy come into your heart. Because jealousy is so dangerous that it will wipe out all your good deeds. فَإِنَّ الْحَسَدَ يَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ. Hasad eats away all your good deeds. كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارُ الْحَتَبْ. Just as fire eats away dry wood. So don't go near hasad. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is discouraging us from hasad. Because hasad becomes a very big problem for the whole community. It is a cancer for the community. It is a cancer for the community, and this cancer is killing the Muslim community. لا تحاسدوا ولا تباغزوا. Do not hold grudge in your heart for your Muslim brother. Because this will diminish the love that is between you and him. If you hold grudge in your heart, that means you don't love him. And your body language will tell him that there is something wrong, so slowly, slowly, he will move away from you as well. وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا. Do not turn your faces away from each other. When you meet each other and you don't say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, or one says Assalamu alaikum, the other does not reply. He turns his face away, he turns to the right, turns to the left. That will also bring enmity between two Muslim brothers. So لا تحاسدوا ولا تباغزوا ولا تدابروا وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا. You are all the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You believe in the same Allah, you believe in the same Nabi, you face the same Qibla, you follow the same Quran, you follow the teachings of the same Nabi. Therefore, you should remain in this world as brothers. وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. Anything that was to disrupt the love between two Muslims has been discouraged, and anything that was to strengthen this love, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged him. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, لَا تَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُ. You will not be able to enter Jannah until you become complete believers. You will only be able to go to Jannah if you become complete believers. وَلَا تُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى تَحَابُّ. And you can never become complete believers until you begin to love each other. With hatred for each other, you cannot become complete believers. In order to become perfect believers, in order to become complete believers, in order to become kamil mu'min, you must have love for each other. Average love, but you must have love for each other. You must have feeling for each other. If you do not have love for each other, then you are not complete believers. And if you are not complete believers, you will not be able to enter Jannah directly. First, you will have to go to the fire of Jahannam, and after purifying yourself of this evil that lies within your heart, hatred for Muslim brothers, thereafter you will be able to enter Jannah. Today, friends, we concentrate on only certain aspects of our dini lives. Salat is very important. It is important. Zakat is very important. It is definitely important. Hajj is very important. It is definitely important. Fasting is important. It is definitely important. But we cannot neglect the other commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot become ignorant of the other facts of deen, the other demands of deen. لَا تَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا. You will not be able to enter Jannah unless you become perfect believers. And you cannot become perfect believers until you love each other, until you love your Muslim brother, until you love your Muslim sister. And whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam instructed us to do something which was very important, he also showed the way. Now loving each other is the key. Because without loving each other, we will not be able to become perfect believers. And if we do not become perfect believers, we will not be able to go direct to Jannah. So now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُوهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ. Shall I not show you something which if you begin to practice, you will begin to love each other? Let me tell you something which if you begin to practice, then you will love each other. Love will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala automatically. If you begin to practice this, and when love enters your heart, you will become perfect believers, and once you become perfect believers, Allah will make entry into Jannah easy for you. So the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majmain must have said, why not, O Messenger of Allah? Definitely tell us. Tell us, what should we do to bring this love in our hearts? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave a very simple instruction. He said, Afshu Salama Bainakum. When you meet each other, then spread salam amongst you.
SubhanAllah.
When you meet each other, say, Assalamu Alaikum Wa Rahmatullahi Wa Barakatuhu. And the other should say, Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Nowadays, friends, when we meet somebody who we know, we say, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If we happen to pass by somebody who we do not know, we do not greet him. Imam Bayhaqi rahimahullahu ta'ala, Imam Tabrani rahimahullahu ta'ala, Imam Tahawi rahimahullah ta'ala has quoted a hadith, has narrated a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that from the signs of Qiyamah, one sign is that a person will only greet that person who is known to him. This is from the signs of Qiyamah. Let us assess our own lives. Why should we worry too much about other people? Let us assess our own lives. And let us ask ourselves that what is my behavior when I meet my Muslim brothers, when I go to the masjid, when I go to the shopping center, when I go to the market. If I meet somebody who I do not know, do I say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh? And what a beautiful greeting. What a beautiful greeting. Two Muslims meet each other. You just have to pass by each other, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, without wasting a single second. And if you look at the greetings of all the other communities, no greeting will be able to match the greeting taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The beauty about this greeting is that this is the greeting of the malaika. The malaika, when they meet each other, this is what they say to each other, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. The beauty about this greeting is that this was the greeting of the ummah of Adam alayhi salam, this was the greeting of the ummah of Isa alayhi salam, and this has been the greeting of all the ummahs. All the ummahs. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, He said, O Adam, do you see that group of angels standing there? Go to them and say to them, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. And listen very carefully to what they have to say. فَإِنَّهَا تَحِيَّتُكَ وَتَحِيَّتُ ذُرِّيَّتِكَ. Because that is going to be your greeting and greetings of your progeny to come until the day of Qiyamah. So Adam alayhi salatu wasalam went to the group of angels and he said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. So the angel said, Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. The beauty about this greeting is that this will be the greeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah. In Ibn Majah Sharif, we find the hadith that when the people of Jannah will enter Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, Assalamu alaikum ya ahlul Jannah. Assalamu alaikum ya ahlul Jannah. Imagine the enjoyment we will find when Allah will say to us, Assalamu alaikum. When Allah will say, Assalamu alaikum. We find so much enjoyment now. Just imagining that Allah will say, Assalamu alaikum to us when we enter Jannah. Salamun qawlam min Rabbir Raheem. Such beautiful greeting. When we meet each other, one says Assalamu alaikum, Allah will grant him 10 rewards. He says Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Allah will grant him 20 rewards. He says Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Allah will grant him 30 rewards. The other says wa alaikum assalam, Allah will grant him 10 rewards. He says wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, he will be granted 20 rewards. If he was to say wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Allah will grant him 30 rewards. Now the Muslim community, on a daily basis, how many Muslims do we meet? So many Muslims. We come for salat 5 times a day. We meet so many Muslims. And it's not like tilawat of the Quran. It's not like performing salat where it will take 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Just passing. You are passing each other and saying, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Imagine the reward that we will acquire throughout our life. When we enter our home, we have been taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. There are many of us who are very particular about salam when they meet Muslim brothers. But they become very miser when it comes to doing salam to their own families. The beauty about this salam is that it is not only a greeting, it is a dua. Allahu Akbar. Assalamu alaikum, may the peace of Allah be upon you. Wa rahmatullahi, may the rahmat of Allah be upon you. Wa barakatuhu, may the barakat of Allah be upon you. Salam, rahmat and barakat. These three words cannot be translated into any language. Salam, the word salam encompasses the safeties of this world and the hereafter. Wa rahmatullahi, it encompasses the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world and the hereafter. Wa barakatuhu, it encompasses the barakah in our favors in this world and the hereafter. These three words encompasses all the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, when we meet each other, when we are saying Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, in reality we are saying three times. May Allah grant you all the goodnesses of both worlds. May Allah grant you all the goodnesses of both worlds. May Allah grant you all the goodnesses of both worlds. Three times we are saying. We are praying for each other. This greeting is so beautiful, my friends, that when we say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, right at the outset, we are letting the person know that I've got nothing against you. I am your friend. We meet a stranger and sometimes we feel apprehension. We don't know who he is. He looks doubtful. As soon as he says Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, it puts our mind at rest. If he was enemy, he would not have prayed for my safety. He would not have prayed for Allah's mercy and Allah's barakah to descend upon me. He is my friend. The Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majmain was so particular about salam that in riwayat, in the ahadith, we find that if two Sahaba radiyallahu anhum were passing, were walking together, and if a tree divided them for a while, they were walking on a pathway and there was a tree in the middle and circumstances forced them to forced one to go from this side and forced the other to go from the other side. So they were separated for 2-3 seconds, 4 seconds, 5 seconds. As soon as they would meet up, they would not continue with the previous conversation. The first thing they would do was to say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A sheikh in Madina Munawwara invited me to his home, and according to the Arab culture, first he went inside and he came with some fragrance, and then he went inside again with the fragrance, he came back again, and then he went inside and he came with qahwa, and then he went inside and he came with some dates, he took everything again and he came back again, and then he went inside again and he came with the dastarkhan, the cloth for food, and he sat with us for a while, he went inside and he started bringing the food. So he must have come and gone about 50 times. But the beautiful thing, the unique thing about that man was, that every time he went and came back, he said, "Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh." Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I was so happy, and I told the friends who were with me, I said, "Look at this man. Put his invitation on one side. We are so much indebted to him that he has made prayer for us 50 times. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh." And he is so fortunate that every time he said Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, there were other 10 people, all of us put together. So I said, we replied, so 500 times he received the dua. We do not value the teachings of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The glitters of the world is attracting us from all four sides. We like other cultures, we like other civilizations, and we tend to follow in their footsteps. Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, "Kunna adilla," we were wretched. We were wretched. Nobody wanted to know us. A'azzana Allahu bil Islam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us honor and dignity through the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through Islam. Today, alhamdulillah, we announce that we love Islam. We declare that we love Islam. Islam is our religion. We are proud of our religion. If we are proud of our religion, how much of the teachings of the religion are we practicing? How much of that religion we are practicing? Kunna adilla, we were wretched. Azzana Allahu bil Islam. Allah granted us honor and dignity through Islam. And he further says, فَمَهْمَا إِبْتَغَيْنَ الْعِزَّةَ بِغَيْرِ مَا أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَذَلَّنَ اللَّهُ. For as long as we seek honor in ways other than Islam. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is saying this. Umar radiallahu anhu. In Bukhari Sharif we find a hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu. He used to say, وَافَقَنِي رَبِّي فِي ثَلَاثٍ أَوْ وَافَقْتُ رَبِّي فِي سَلَاسِ. There were three instances when I went to the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I said to him, "O Messenger of Allah, I feel that we should do this." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Omar, it is a very good idea, but my sharia is not made here, my sharia is made there. It's a very good idea, but I cannot enforce anything until Allah does not grant me the permission to do so." And Umar radiallahu anhu said, there were three instances where I said something and Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam came with the same opinion. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Kana feeman kana qablakum muhaddasun." In all the ummats, every Nabi had a companion who was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, "Wa in yaku ahadun fi ummati fa Umar." In my ummah, that person is Umar. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, "Inna Allah yantiku ala lisani Umar." When Umar speaks, it is his tongue, but the word is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Umar radiallahu anhu, who was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala many times, he said that, فَمَهْمَا إِبْتَغَيْنَ الْعِزَّةَ بِغَيْرِ مَا عَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us honor and dignity through Islam, and for as long as we continue to seek dignity and honor through other means, other paths, other ways, أَذَلَّنَ اللَّهُ, Allah will keep us disgraced. Allah will keep us disgraced. The solution to all our problems is Islam. Islam is the only solution. And we have no authority over anybody else, but we have 100% authority over our own life, over our own body. Let us enforce Islam in our lives. Let us try to practice Islam as much as we can. So I was saying, friends, this greeting, Allahu Akbar, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. When we greet each other, not only are we greeting, not only are we giving the message of peace, not only are we making dua for each other, not only are we acquiring reward, but we are also remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. So every time we meet each other, we say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. So immediately we are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَذْكُرُونِ يَذْكُرْكُمْ. You remember me, I will remember you. So whenever we meet a Muslim brother, we greet him, so we are remembering Allah. At that very moment, Allah is remembering us. And when Allah remembers us, that means Allah sends His rahmah, His mercy upon us. So this love for each other is very, very important. It is a requirement for the completeness of our iman. In a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam narrated an incident of the people of the past. He said a person left his village, his town, to go into another town, into another village to visit his friend, Muslim friend. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel in human form. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this angel certain instructions. So this angel was in human form. When this person reached halfway, the angel met him, assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam, how are you, fine? After the initial greeting and introduction, the angel said, where are you going? So that simple man said, Uridu akhalli fi hadhihi al-qariya. I have a friend who lives in this village. I'm going to visit him. I have a Muslim brother. I'm going to visit him. So the angel said, Hal laka alayhi min ni'matin tarubbuha. Is it that you need something from him that you are going to visit him? Is it that he has done you a favor in the past, so you are keeping good ties with him because you are indebted to him? So he said, no. غَيْرَ أَنِّي أُحِبُّهُ لِلَّهِ. He said, no. I have no need. He has not done any favor to me in the past. I am going to visit him because I love him for the pleasure of Allah. So the angel, upon the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said that I am an angel from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O my servant, just as you love your Muslim brother, Allah loves you in the same manner. So if we love each other, it will make our iman complete. If we love each other, it will bring the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we love each other, it will grant us the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. And if we love each other, then we will live our worldly life in a very relaxed manner as well. If you hold grudge against somebody, that person never finds peace in his heart and mind. If anybody has grudge for somebody, if anybody is jealous with somebody, that person can never rest in peace. If I have something against the Imam Sahib, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted each and every person some good quality. Somebody is wealthy, somebody is healthy, someone has got very pious, obedient children, something or other, someone has got respect. So we all have some kind of quality. If we hold grudge in our heart for somebody, if we are jealous of somebody, then this good quality that is in his life is always going to bother us. It is always going to bother us. Why does the Imam Sahib have so much respect in this Muslim? Why do people respect him so much? That will always bother me if I have anything against him. If somebody is very wealthy and if I have something against him, all the time, 24 hours, this will burn in my heart. Why is he very wealthy? Why is he very wealthy? This is the fire of hasad. Fire of hasad. The person who has jealousy in his heart burns with hasad in this very world before he will be burnt in the hereafter in Jahannam. Hasad ki aag mein kyun jal rahe ho? Hasad ki aag mein kyun jal rahe ho? Why are you burning in the fire of hasad? Why are you ruining yourself? Hasad ki aag mein kyun jal rahe ho? Kafe afsos kyun mal rahe ho? Why are you always regretful that? Why is he becoming very successful? Why is he become very successful? Why is he becoming very successful? Because you are daily waiting for some calamity to befall him. And every day when you wake up in the morning, you always hear good things about him. हसद की आग में क्यों जल रहे हो? कफे अफसोस क्यों मर रहे हो? खुदा के फैसलों से क्यों हो नाराज? Why are you unhappy with the decision of Allah? If Allah has made him handsome, it is Allah who has made him handsome. If Allah has granted him honor, it is Allah who has granted him honor. If Allah has granted him wealth, it is Allah who has granted him wealth. हसद की आग में क्यों जल रहे हो? कफे अफसोस क्यों मल रहे हो? खुदा के फैसलों से क्यों हो नाराज? जहन्नम की तरफ क्यों चल रहे हो? With this hasad in our hearts, we are burning in this very world and we are objecting on the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will ultimately take us in the fire of Jahannam. So friends, this is the time when we need to unite. Unite. Unity has always been important. Unity has always been important. Always important. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam exerted every effort. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was relaxing, he was in a journey, he was relaxing in his tent, he was sitting with Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu anhum, his very important companions, and suddenly a small argument took place between a muhajir and a member of the Ansar. Very small argument. And that argument led to some heated conversation. So one of them said, Ya Al Ansar, Ya Al Ansar, O the Ansar, come to my help. So the other said, Ya Al Muhajirin, O the group of Muhajirin, come to my help. Immediately Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realized that the Muslim community is being divided into two parts. These titles were given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the basis of deen, Ansar and Muhajirin. Before Aus and Khazraj were at war against each other. Before a Qurayshi and non-Qurayshi had differences between themselves. The people living in Medina were different from the people living in Makkah Mukarramah. And now the Muslim community is being divided amongst themselves. Ya Al Ansar, Ya Al Muhajirin. Study the books of Ahadith, my friends. We find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up very quickly. Very quickly, and he did not even spare time to put his sheet properly. The narrator of the hadith, the sahabi, says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked quickly towards the place of dispute, yajurru rida'ahu, dragging his top cloth on the ground. He did not even spare time to cover himself. And he reached that place and he gathered the Ansar and the Muhajirin and he said, Ma balu da'wal jahiliya? Ma balu da'wal jahiliya? Why is it that I'm listening to the slogans of the time of jahiliya? That we are the Muhajirin and we are the Ansar. You are the Muhajirin, you are the Ansar. The Muhajirin are also believers and the Ansar are also believers. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed just before Zuhr from this world, between Fajr and Zuhr. Anas radiallahu ta'ala says, we were performing salat behind Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. The last Fajr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being led by Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had commanded Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu to become imam on his place. And he has been performing 16 salats before this 17th one. 17 salat he performed. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was unable to come out to perform salat. And Anas radiallahu ta'ala says that we were performing the Fajr salat and suddenly the curtain of the room of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opened and we realized that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was standing on the door of the masjid or the door of his home which was leading to the masjid, and he said that we became so happy because of the recovery in his health that we were near to breaking our salat due to the happiness. But he said we performed our salat, and before the completion of the salam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had already closed the curtain and he was inside, so we could not see him. And because we were relaxed that alhamdulillah he is on the recovery, that is why he walked up to the edge of the masjid and we all relaxed. And suddenly before Zuhr salat, we heard the news of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departing. The commentators of hadith, commenting on this particular hadith, my friends, that why, despite knowing that I am not going to be able to perform the salat with jamaat due to my weakness, why did he make the effort of walking all the way from his bed up to the edge of the masjid, and he stood there for a while, he looked at all the sahaba, he looked at the Imam Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and then he left and he went to rest. Why? Why did he take this trouble when he did not take this trouble in the other 16 salah? The commentators of hadith, after posing this question, have answered that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made Abu Bakr the Imam of all the Muslims, and he knew that he was going to depart very shortly. What he wanted to see was whether the Ummah is united upon Abu Bakr. Because he had exerted extreme efforts to unite the Ummah. So he left the Ummah united, he made the Ummah one, and he wanted to leave the Ummah united. So he looked at all the Sahaba, the major Sahaba, they are all performing Salat behind Abu Bakr, and they have accepted Abu Bakr as their leader. Now, with a very relaxed heart and peaceful mind, he left the Ummah united and he went to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So friends, the problem at the moment is two problems. One is we are not united. We are not united. We do not have the love that we should have for each other. We do not have the feeling that we should have for each other. We are not helpful as much as we should help each other. We are not interested in the problems of each other. This is one problem. We do not have that love. And the second problem is that we are not practicing the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we should practice. As we should practice. Upon the issue of the cartoon, one of my colleagues, Maulana Ayaz, who is a lecturer of Muslim Sharif in our institute, in one of his lectures, he made a very good point. He said, we are all making noise about a particular non-Muslim disrespecting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Fine. Fine. We should make noise. We should be heard. And we should show people that we are heard. Fine. Remaining within the limits of Sharia, remaining within the laws of the country. But Sheikh Ayaz said, that do we realize how much hurt we are causing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam daily by not practicing his deen? This is the point that we need to ponder over, friends. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu in tansurullaha yansurukum. Only Allah's help will be able to save us. And Allah has said, if you help the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will help you. Let us make a firm resolution that inshallah we will all try to learn deen as much as possible and practice deen as much as possible.
Inshallah.
And number two, we will all love each other. We will all support each other. The Ummah is one. The Ummah is one. Wherever we come from, we are all brothers. Innamal mu'minuna ikhwatun. The believers are brothers. And the great poet of the East, Dr. Iqbal, said, Manfaat ek hai is qaum ki nuksan bhi ek. Our profit is one and our loss is one. If I make a profit, then that is the profit of the whole ummah. And if I make a loss, that is the loss of the whole ummah. If there are five brothers in a family, then if one brother makes a profit, it makes the other four very happy. And if one brother makes a loss, it makes the other four grieve. Manfaat ek hai is qaum ki nuksan bhi ek. Ek hi sab ka nabi, deen bhi, iman bhi ek. Haram-e-paak bhi, Allah bhi, Quran bhi ek. Our loss is one, our profit is one. Our nabi is one, our deen is one. Our iman is one, our haram is one. Our Allah is one, our Quran is one. The only thing that is not one is the Muslim Ummah. Manfaat ek hai is qaum ki nuksan bhi ek. Ek hi sab ka nabi, deen bhi, iman bhi ek. Haram-e-paak bhi, Allah bhi, Quran bhi ek. Kuch badi baat thi hote jo musalman bhi ek. If only the Muslims were united. So these are the two messages I want to leave behind, my friends. We need to learn deen as much as possible through authentic sources and practice. And number two, we need to live with harmony and peace. We all have our differences. We all have our differences. But petty differences should not become a means of we being divided into two groups which are looking at each other with an eye of enmity. We need to respect each other, we need to love each other. And by loving each other, respecting each other, try to convey the true teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam to each other. And inshallah, with this effort, we will all come from the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the nusrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'awana wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.